you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Welcome to Get Notified. You're listening to DJ Ginger MC, and we are going to talk all things Bitcoin, but more particularly Bitcoin when it comes to buying your house. Today we've got Piper, and she is the CEO of the Crypto Realty Group. It's a Los Angeles-based firm, and she specializes in conducting real estate transactions with cryptocurrency. That's right. And she's the only realtor in California who's completed 5 Bitcoin transactions to date. She's licensed for international luxury realtors. She's a certified specialist, all that good stuff. She's an advisor on all kinds of boards. And she's been featured in places like Forbes, Inc., Realtor.com, all kinds of great stuff. And we are going to spend the next hour today really getting to know her, getting to know a little bit more about this whole Bitcoin cryptocurrency and how she communicates what she does through the channels that she uses, whether it be social media, face-to-face, or some type of crypto communication that we're not sure about. Piper, how are you doing this morning? Are you there?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so I just discovered that we could probably create some sort of a new crypto communication. By the end of the day, we'll have it down, and then we can have people that mine it, and then we can sort of make a ledger that's public, and then everybody can see it, and then somehow, you know, it'll get to $5,000 per share, and we'll all live happy and healthy forever.
Fantastic. That's a wonderful idea. I mean, 1,500 other tokens are doing it. Why not us?
Right, right. I mean, people have these cryptocurrencies. Why don't we create crypto communication tokens?
Sure.
So let's start and learn a little bit more about you before we dive into this thing called cryptocurrency. How did you find yourself into this space? It's relatively new, but take us back. Were you always going to be a real estate agent instead of selling lemons? Were you crashing open houses or what?
Well, okay. It started a few years ago. I actually come from entertainment, and I've been in entertainment for many, many years, and it's either feast or famine. And at one point, I thought to myself, okay, I've got to do something else between shows. And so I got my real estate license, and I kind of did both. I had, you know, full time during the summer, and then I had this great gig, you know, a TV show that allowed me to actually do both. And then at one point, I got so busy, I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to have to make a choice here. And the choice was made for me because my show got canceled, and now I'm doing this full time.
Nice.
Which is totally fine. And then, yeah, so, about a year and a half ago, some clients just found me randomly online, total happenstance. They were looking in my neck of the woods, and they were looking for a price point about $3 million in Manhattan Beach. Picked them out, you know, saw a few houses, got to know them very well. They were really great people. And, you know, we zeroed in on a few, and they said, okay, by the way, we're going to pay for this in Bitcoin. And I thought, oh, God, here we go. I knew a little bit about it at the time, but I was not an investor. I had, you know, all I knew was just a little news blip here and there.
Yeah.
And so we basically had to start from scratch. That's kind of how I got into it.
Well, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of all invention. And when you have somebody that wants to give you $3 million in invisible currency, you might as well try to look into it, right?
Yep. You know, I had nothing to lose, so I just dove right in.
And it closed. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then that happened four more. Then it happened four more times?
Crazy. But yeah, I mean, we were able to close the deal in 30 days.
Wow, that's a feat on itself. I mean, maybe it's because there's less money to move and it's just invisible and somebody clicks on a button, right?
Just about. I mean, if you think about it, it ended up being, at the end of the day, it was a cash transaction. You know, we converted the Bitcoin into cash, and that's kind of the popular route right now, just because of tax implications and title and all that other stuff. It gets a little tricky. Well, we can talk about that later. So we did end up transferring it to cash. That component was actually the easy part. Everything else was a little messy because, you know, the escrow company was really hesitant at first and didn't want to touch it. The lawyers got involved. So they kicked us out 7 days before we were supposed to close. We had to scramble and find a new escrow company.
Wow.
Yeah, and all the while I'm trying to convince the seller's agent we're not trying to scam anybody. So yeah, it was a little hairy there for a little bit, but we got it done.
Hey, sometimes the hairiest stuff is the best, and that's why I'm proud of all of my hair. Right? Ginger's
right.
Red hair, chest hair, all that stuff. Hey, so from kind of a top-down look at this. This is something that you didn't expect to just jump into. You were looking at the real estate, and then the Bitcoin kind of found you.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when you took that, was it sort of an opportunity that you said, wow, I might be onto something, and that's when you started to establish yourself as the expert in that zone within that particular niche?
You know, it's so funny. We went on to do three more transactions after that, and I wasn't even thinking about starting a business until a colleague of mine said, yeah, you might want to look at this. This could be the next big thing. And so I did, you know, and thanks to her, I've got this boomy business now. It's wonderful.
Boomy business. I like that. So
yeah.
So the $1 million Bitcoin question, because I can't even say it's a $1 million question on the show, is this the future? Is Bitcoin transactions going to happen more and more? Are people going to buy houses like this in the future? Is this really the transactional future that we all are waiting for?
You know, okay. In a perfect world, I would love to say, yes, it is the future.
Okay.
I think it's here to stay. It's funny. John Oliver did a segment on Bitcoin a few weeks ago, and he was pretty spot on. I mean, he said it could be the next Google, or it could be absolutely nothing. So, you know, I'm betting right now that it's going to be the next Google. It's got its growing pains right now. It's gone up and down. I mean, we watch the volatility consistently. It's, you know, that's what it has, and you know, we've proven that we can buy anything with it, you know, big ticketed items like Lamborghinis and houses and stuff like that. And it's kind of the Wild West right now. And the banking industry is, you know, and the SEC and everything, they're kind of clamping down, not just here, but in other countries as well. You know, the governments are kind of clamping down, trying to regulate this. And that could prove to be really good or really bad, you know. So we're just kind of like, but as far as like blockchain and cryptocurrency, they're not going away. That part is the future. The blockchain technology, that's going to be kind of like, in my view, the next internet.
Okay, so now that we've got a little bit of a backdrop, let's try to help translate some of these keywords. And mm-hmm. A big part of, I think, what would be fun for the show is for people to be able to actually get a good grasp of what Bitcoin is, of what cryptocurrency is, of what blockchain is. We don't want to spend the whole show on it, but
right.
Making this a valuable, reusable podcast so that somebody's like, oh my gosh, I listened to this, and Piper just sort of piped the way for my brain channels, and now I understand it. And then, you know, it'll become viral, and everybody will just listen to this show because all they need is Piper to explain a GTO. And if you don't know a GTO, it means a grandma timeout, or since we're equal opportunity grandparents here, could be the grandpa timeout. So I want you to pretend like you're either talking to grandma or grandpa, and
okay.
We're going to go through those three main terms, and you get to choose the order real quick before we jump into it. Of the terms Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain, which order do you think we should explain them in?
Oh boy. Okay. I can start anywhere.
Okay. So
we can start with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And
let's,
we can maybe
let's
move into blockchain.
Let's actually go with cryptocurrency, and
okay.
Then we'll talk about how Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about how blockchain sort of makes the magic happen. All right.
Right.
So,
okay. No
so
pressure.
None okay. at all. It's not like we're on live radio. It's not like millions of people are going to listen to this. This is the happenstance that has happened to you now. You now have just edged yourself into a situation where there's no pressure to explain to the entire world what these three things are because it's only the future. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
awesome.
GTO, cryptocurrency. Remember, you're talking to, well, are you going to talk to grandma or grandpa or both?
Grandpa.
Okay, so we're assuming grandpa's maybe a little more tech savvy. I like it. All right, so GTO, cryptocurrency O.
Okay. Okay, so cryptocurrency is a decentralized currency that happens to be, you know, on the internet. In contrast, let's say U.S. dollars, yen, any government-backed money. It's called fiat. Just FYI, by the way.
Like the car.
Kind of like the car. Yeah.
Okay.
So that the money that we use every day, the dollar bills, that's a centralized currency that's government backed. You know, there's a central banking system that's run by the Fed. So cryptocurrency is decentralized. If I give you, say, a dollar in cryptocurrency, whatever crypto that is, you know, it could be a Bitcoin or part of a Bitcoin, it could be Ethereum or whatever you choose. There are tens of thousands of people watching me do this. So it's recorded. And at that point, it's recorded on the blockchain, which we will get to in a minute. But it's immutable. You can't change the fact that I gave you a dollar. Everybody's watching. And it mitigates fraud and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff that come with centralized. So in essence, there are, what I say, like 1,500 maybe, I just probably more now, coins out there. Bitcoin just happens to be the first one. And we've had several forks of Bitcoin. There's Bitcoin Cash, there's Bitcoin Gold. And then there's Ethereum, you know, which was, if you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin is the gold and Ethereum is the silver. So, Ethereum is a little bit different in the fact that, I don't want to get too technical, Grandpa.
You've already lost me, Piper.
Okay, then stop me and then let's
let's go back here.
I can just go on and on and on.
Yeah, but this is a fun exercise, right? Because, like, we love talking to Grandma and Grandpa. And
we do.
And secretly, like, the tell is very easy. They either fall asleep on you or they look at you funny or they're just like, Piper, stop it. I don't understand. You're talking about fiats and coins, but I don't see any coins.
Right.
So when you say centralized versus decentralized, right? I mean, you talked about government-backed, but we're off of the gold standard. So the government just prints money. They just print it, right? They just print it, and decide to spend it and pass it out. And the value of that dollar is based on its economic value, right, which is tied to inflation. So
exactly.
So you have a centralized but not necessarily stabilized dollar, American dollar, right?
Correct.
And when it comes to Bitcoin, it's deceiving because it says we're talking cryptocurrency. So crypto just means it's virtual. Is that right?
Crypto, yeah. It's based on cryptography, which is, you know, basically, you know, and I am so not technically savvy per se. I'm not a coder, but crypto refers to cryptography, which is coding behind the cryptocurrency, if that makes any sense.
I'll believe you just because he said it. I trust you, Piper. I trust you.
Thank you.
So it's not something that you hold, though. You said it was on the internet. So it's this virtual currency.
It is. I mean, think about it. Okay, so everybody does online banking, right? You can log into your account, and, you know, you can see your checking and your savings and all that. And that, you know, it for all intents and purposes, that's virtual as well. I mean, I'm horrible at carrying cash around, so I'm always, you know, using my debit and my charge cards and all that stuff. And you never really see the money anymore. And it's in that respect, it's kind of the same as crypto. You have wallets that you can hold your money in, your Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever you choose to buy. There's exchanges out there like Coinbase and Gemini that take, you know, that you can transfer your U.S. dollars into and then exchange that for Bitcoin. And then you can hold it basically as you would in your bank account. It's kind of like an online banking system. So there's that. And then on top of that, I don't know if we're getting too far into this, but there are other wallets, there are other exchanges that hold pretty much only what we call altcoins, which are coins that are not Bitcoin, not Ethereum. We can have the communication coin if we wanted to, you know, and hold 10,000 of those, you know, and they're worth, you know, a thousandth of a penny. You know, there are exchanges for that. So that's how money's moved around. You know, you can buy altcoins, you can hold it in a wallet. I even have a BitPay credit card, or I'm sorry, debit card, that, you know, I can buy Bitcoin with my bank account, and then transfer that into U.S. dollars on my BitPay card. So when I hold it in my wallet, you know, I could have $1,000 one day. Hopefully, it'll spike, and then all of a sudden, I'll have $2,000 in my debit. So it's kind of cool.
So as a grandpa, the one thing that stuck out there, which I think we might be able to jump on, is it's. Think of it like an online banking system.
Mm-hmm.
It just as a simple fact, but your money is tied to a certain index that could either increase or decrease. So right now you have your money in a bank and you pull it out when you want it, and maybe there's 1%, you know, of growth with interest, like hardly anything. It's like your money mm-hmm. doesn't grow. But with cryptocurrency, it's a currency that is tied to a larger value, kind of like a real-time inflation adjustment, and you can act just like it would be in a virtual bank account or in an actual online banking account, right?
Yeah, you know, in essence, let's put it this way: it's a currency that kind of behaves like a stock. You know, it goes up and down depending on, you know, what news comes out that day. You know, Korea did something today, and so it's down again, you know, a little bit. So it does behave like a stock, but you can spend it just like money.
Okay. I think those combos, it's like having an online account with a bank that is sharing its public records with everybody, and it acts like mm-hmm. a stock market. It acts like a stock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I like it. Let's get some.
Okay.
All right, so now let's talk about Bitcoin, because we talked about cryptocurrency, which is this overarching genre of type of bank accounts that have different stock components, where they rise or fall based on the supply and demand in the marketplace and just the overall world economies, right?
Yep.
So then what is Bitcoin?
That's like saying, what is yoga?
Do you want it? Is it what you want for Christmas?
Okay, so Bitcoin, you know, you see all these little internet, you know, memes, you know, with the digital coin. You know, there's no, like, physical coin out there. You know, we've already kind of established that. So Bitcoin was the first. I don't know how much history you want me to get into, but
I'm old. I don't have much of
a group of people. Satoshi Nakamoto. I screwed that name up. It's Satoshi Nakamoto, I believe. Gosh, I'm sure I'm going to get lots of tweets on that. So he or this group of people, you know, decided back in 2009 that they were going to have this decentralized currency, and Bitcoin was the first. And at the time, it was worth absolutely nothing. It was just like this kind of cool concept online. So, you know, a lot of these coders, a lot of these miners, you know, bought some just for the heck of it, just to see what it would do. You know, the first transaction, like real transaction, was a pizza. Somebody offered this pizza company like 50,000 Bitcoin, or yeah, for like one pizza, you know, and that today is worth, you know, probably billions. So that was like there is actually, I forget what date it was, but there was actually, like, they celebrate that day, so it's called Pizza Day. But then there's a really good a documentary on Netflix called Banking on Bitcoin, and I highly recommend it for anybody who really wants to dive into the history and how it really behaves. You might have to watch it a couple of times because I did.
Okay.
So it kind of grew from there. But the reason why it has some kind of negative connotation to it is because it didn't have a very good beginning, because people just they found that they could do some really crazy illegal stuff with it, you know, like going on the dark web, you know, and selling all kinds of, you know, illicit, you know, drugs and, you know, illegal firearms, stuff like that, you know. And so that kind of tainted it for a little bit. But then it kind of regained traction, obviously, you know, in the years to come. And then last year, I don't know what happened, but it just exploded.
And exploded as in not like a bad thing, like it didn't hurt anybody.
No, like a good thing. Like everybody, it became a household name last year. And you know, the my clients, you know, who kind of reintroduced it to me back in 2016, you know, they had been using it for years. You know, they did a lot of, you know, international, you know, business, marketing, stuff like that, and they paid each other in Bitcoin because it was the easiest thing to do. And they were very well versed in it. And, you know, I mean, I thought, oh, my God, this is crazy. And so it took me, like, 6 months to really get the nerve to buy some. And then even with that, I woke up in the middle of the night going, what did I just do? Did I just, you know, throw away thousands of dollars? But I did it, you know, it's a happy ending, you know, even with the market being down. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the rough history of it, you know, so to speak.
And it's basically a form of this cryptocurrency.
It is. It is. It is. It's the first, like I said, and there. And once, you know, that success, you know, was wide, you know, worldwide, you know, other people started copying it. So, you know, Ethereum came up not soon after, or soon after, and then, you know, other altcoins. And, you know, people are trying to, you know, get in on this, you know, crypto action daily. I mean, everybody's trying to have the next big coin. Everybody wants the next Bitcoin, you know, and have that take off. I don't see that happening. I don't see Bitcoin. Well, I mean, and I could be completely wrong. Who knows? Bitcoin is always going to be the first and the standard, I believe, to which everybody else kind of copies.
Right. Okay. Do you know of a guy named Bobby Lee? Have you heard of Bobby Lee?
I have. Why does that name sound familiar?
So he's one of the leading guys in the Bitcoin space. He's probably like one of the top guys. Maybe he's the he's the Bitcoin of Bitcoin. How's that?
Awesome.
I had a chance to meet him in China, and I was in the press area, and I was listening to him talk to somebody, and I went up to him afterwards. I was like, I can't lie. I overheard your conversation with this lady, and you were talking all about Bitcoin, like, and I sort of poked at him for a couple of questions, and I said, why are people so scared of it? And we had a fun conversation about it, and some of those things just like still stick with me. And one of the things he said was that it's just information. That Bitcoin is just information. At the end of the day, it's, you know, people say it's decentralized and they say it's peer-to-peer and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's just a system. It's a software. It's technology. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that is a great way to explain it. Absolutely.
He also, it was interesting. He said, Ryan, you know, what's 2 + 2? I'm like, 4. And he said, well, what's 5 + 7? I was like, dude, you're getting way too high for me. Let's just, what's the point here, right? And he said, it's all mathematics. Right. So he got me to admit that it was information. And then he said, it's just mathematics. And he's like, you know, there is calculus and all kinds of arithmetic and everybody knows. But the mathematics inside of Bitcoin, he was saying that mathematics is the cryptocurrency. And it basically is one that has to do with encryption. But it was interesting. It made sense. He's like, don't try to understand it. He said, you know, did you ever try to really understand calculus, or did you just sort of trust it and follow the rules? I'm like, trust it and follow the rules. So the fact that it's just information and that the blockchain is just mathematics you don't have to figure out what the algorithm is. You just have to know right. that you know, 1 + 1 = 2 and trust that that system is going to be repeated throughout. So I thought those were an interesting kind of look at it from just a mathematical and technology standpoint.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. You know, and you're talking to somebody who didn't even make it to calculus because she was so bad at math in high school. So, you know, having it explained that way is great. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of components to it, but, you know, I did have in the very beginning, someone did explain to me, you know, it's a currency based on math, you know, and there are cycles. And, you know, if you look at the charts, you know, there is a pattern there.
Yeah, I like it. And we don't have to know or understand calculus to understand that it's been around for a while, it's still going to stay around, and that certain things, when you add them together, just equal certain things, right?
Yep, yep.
Because for me, as soon as I took out trying to explain and trying to understand it, then it was just like, wow, okay, cool. It's just a mathematical technology that is in a system that I can't see, but it has value at the end of the day based on where it stands. And that was just kind of, for me, is interesting. And then do you know who Brock Pierce is?
I do. I've met him. He's
Brock
a wonderful guy.
He's a great, great guy. And he inspired me to buy my first $100 of Bitcoin when I saw him talking at Expert Dojo. And I've hosted a few events that he's been out and stuff like that. But it's just the kind of thing where, really, grandpa, just throw $100 at it and figure it out along the way, but don't try to really understand it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, even my mom wanted to get in on it, and I'm like, oh, God, okay, this is going to be a minute. So I actually have to sit down with her and teach her how to do it.
Well, now that you can explain this to grandma and grandpa, mom should be a cinch, right?
I hope so.
So let's finally, we talked about cryptocurrency and the fact that it is this mathematical online bank account that acts like a stock, and Bitcoin is the first type of currency that has been the most popularized, and for that reason it's probably in the long haul going to be the safest of the risky bets. But then when it comes down to this blockchain technology, how would we describe that? Is that just the mathematics behind it? And if we're getting too meta here,
in a nutshell.
Yeah. And remember, you know, this is translated to grandma and grandpa. So you can say, Ryan, it's kind of like the Pacific Ocean, or it's kind of like, you know, we don't have to get too technical.
Great. No, because I, again, not a technical person myself. So, so blockchain, it's the math, it's the ledger, it's the, you know, decentralized, you know, technology that powers.
Piper, how about a Rubik's Cube? What if blockchain is like a Rubik's Cube? Okay, if you think about it for a second,
that's a
right?
New one.
So one, it's confusing, but everybody knows that all the pieces are connected together, right? So it's like this ledger that every square on the outside is visible at all times. You can always look and see what square is interacting with what square. And it can be turned and twisted and turned and twisted and turned and twisted. And then, like, everything's still there. It's just either in a different order, but it's all accounted for, right? You don't have one square that pops off unless you try to cheat like my brother used to do. And I saw that they were peeled off and I called him on it, right? That's a different story. You can tell if they've been peeled off, just like the things on your sneakers or whatever when you're buying them from Nordstrom's Rack. But a Rubik's Cube, right? It's like this accounting that has hundreds of thousands of different variations, but it all contains itself. So it's like all of your transactions are being tracked in something that looks like a Rubik's Cube, but it's online and it's algorithmic.
Yes. I don't think I could have explained it any better, and I'm going to steal that.
You should. You should.
Don't mind.
You could probably get, this might be a fun real estate sort of tool, right? Even if somebody's not into Bitcoin, you could have it like as a calling card. Like, you could probably buy Rubik's Cubes and you could actually like write out with little Sharpie marker or something messages on it. And then you could talk about, look, the message is the same. The message has not left, but it's going to be transacted in a bunch of different ways. And then you can get really good at being a Rubik's Cube, and then you can press them with your Rubik's Cube skills. And maybe that's going a little too far. I don't know.
You know, back when I was 10, I'm pretty darn good at it, but
I was good at turning, but that was it. There was really no strategy. I'd get two or so that were together, and I'd get all excited, and I'd flip it around, and then they'd move, and I'd get really frustrated, and then I'd go outside, and I'd play hockey. Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Okay, so we have sort of this, you know, this idea. You have cryptocurrency, which is an online bank account that acts like a stock. And then you have Bitcoin, which is the first type of currency. Granted, there's a bunch more. And it's all accounted for in a Rubik's Cube type accounting system. And the Rubik's Cube gets bigger or smaller, but the elements of it never change.
Correct.
All right.
And it's all verified. And, you know, in each block, I have to say, it's literally like a chain. It's a blockchain. And each block is put together, you know, or held together with a reference number that references the last block. So finding information on the blockchain is, you know, easy. And like I said, it's verifiable, mitigates risk and fraud. And, you know, and I really think it's going to be, you know, the wave of the future, you know, not to sound too cheesy.
No, no, that's fine. We've been cheesy this whole time, so it's right on par. And what you just brought up something that reminds me, one of the most powerful things about this is that it takes out the human error, right? I mean, we know 2 + 2 = 4, but if you ask 10 different people what 322 million plus 487,000 is, half of them are going to end up making a clerical error, which basically could create a lot of lost money. So that's another big part of this whole blockchain, is that everything is almost 100% perfect, right?
Yes. You know, I'm going to say yes. The only thing is, you know, the missing variables, you know, the unknowns, you know. I'm going to circle back to real estate for just a second. You know, you have to get, there's title, you know, that has to be cleared, you know, before you can really purchase a house. And, you know, you read the title report, you know, you make sure that there's no, you know, liens or anything like that. But again, it's like, we don't, you know, you don't know if you've got that crazy cousin, you know, that's going to show up on your doorstep and say, oh, by the way, you know, this is my house. I'm going to sue you for it, you know? So it's like, in essence, yes. I mean, the blockchain is going to be great for not just real estate, but they're already implementing it, you know, in healthcare, you know, the law sector, all that. But again, it's the unknowns that we're not sure about. You know, how that's going to play in, you know, and so you don't know what you don't know.
So the Rubik's Cube of the blockchain is not just for currency, but that's more of the accounting method that can be used for everything from government systems to medical systems to accounting and things like that, correct?
Yeah. Oh, and voting too. You know, they're already looking into the blockchain for, you know, to mitigate voter fraud.
Crazy. Well, yeah. I feel like we have a good understanding of a virtual bank account that's tied to the stock, which is invisible, but it's also a Rubik's Cube. So, I mean, I'm sold. Sign me up.
Yeah. Well, makes total sense, right?
what I think is interesting about this and your story in particular, that it was sort of dropped on your lap and you've been able to run with it for the last few years. And now you've kind of established yourself as the go-to person if you want to buy a house that has Bitcoin transaction involved. So let's kind of segue from the nitty gritty of what it means to how you've taken this new technology and really owned it, made it part of your brand, and communicated that out into the world. And, you know, there are people that try to communicate business ideas or, you know, facial serums that are customizable or, you know, music or art or theater tickets. Like, everybody has something that they're pushing, but you're pushing something that still confuses the heck out of people. So I'm really interested to learn about, from a communication standpoint, how you have been spreading this message. And I always like to think that there's two buckets, right? There's offline communication and there's online communication. So I'd be curious to know first, as a percentage-wise, how much of your brand building, because you're a real estate agent, I know there's a lot of face-to-face stuff, how much of it has been offline versus online? And then I kind of want to unpack some of your strategies to help people so that they can sell their art and music or be established for certain brands that they want to be known for, with a way less confusing subject matter.
Okay. Wow. A lot to tackle there. So, okay.
What's a percentage?
Offline.
Yeah. Okay. But what's a percentage? If you were just to say percentage, like in your strategy of branding, if you were, are you 50-50 online, offline? Like, what's just the percentage?
And I would say at this point in time, I would say about 70-30, 70 being online.
Okay, cool.
The 30 is me going to, you know, blockchain meetups, you know, conventions, conferences, and being with people who know a lot more than I do, so I can learn from them.
Gotcha.
It's funny, when I was a panelist at the International Blockchain Real Estate Association, it was our second annual conference last year, and you know, I just went in not knowing, you know, anybody, anything, you know, anything. I mean, I knew a little bit about the association, obviously, but, you know, I was asked about my transactions. And at that point I did, I think I had done three or four. And I thought everybody had done one, you know. and it turns out, no, I was like the only one. And then I was the only one that had done that many.
Wow, right. That's cool.
It was kind of like, you know, I got like rock star status for, you know, a good half hour. It was kind of cool.
Pew, 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 pew.
But, right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just going to conferences like that and, you know, showing up, you know, there's a local thing here called Blockchain Beach. Brilliant, brilliant minds, you know, just show up and they're, you know, all startups. And of course they're all, you know, 30 and under, and I feel very old. But, you know, getting the word out, you know, that, hey, you can actually, you know, take your Bitcoin that you bought 5 years ago and turn it into a house, you know, their eyes get really big and go, oh, wow, I can actually do that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I can help you. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot of that.
So that's the offline, and that's more of a traditional networking, but face to face at conferences and things like that. That's cool, and I like that there is an offline component to it. So talk to me about the 70% of online. What is it that some of your strategies are, and then we can maybe dig into what works, what doesn't. Just kind of a free flow, and we'll pick some stuff out to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I was trying to do this all on my own and run a business at the same time. So I finally got smart and I leveraged it. So if you, you know, one word of advice, you know, if you can leverage it, you know, especially to a millennial who knows what they're doing, I highly recommend that. But we have, you know, weekly meetings. Okay, how are we going to tackle this week, you know, this week, and what are we going to do? What's our plan of action? Definitely have a plan of action. You know, other than, you know, the main, you know, social media networks, you know, like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn has been huge. You know, Instagram, you know, I still plug on Instagram, you know, those are the main ones that we use, and we're starting to get more targeted marketing. You know, I'm going to be, I get so many calls just off of those platforms, you know, that, you know, real estate agents and buyers and sellers wanting more information. I'm going to have to put together some kind of a tutorial for people, you know, just explaining all this stuff, everything that we're talking about right now, just to kind of help them along. But yeah, I mean, as far as strategies are concerned, you know, Facebook has been a very, you know, even up to now, with their ban on crypto ads, it's still very instrumental.
Okay, so real quick on that. So let's go back for a second. One of the main things is get a team of maybe millennials or somebody who you can brainstorm with and leverage their expertise, because a lot of people are in your position where they think they can do it all on their own. But you're telling me, and what I'm hearing is that it's okay to have a team to help you with your social media outreach.
Absolutely, you know, and I think it's money well spent. I was resisting for the longest time, going, no, I can learn this all on my own, you know, because I'm fairly tech savvy, but, you know, I just.
But you're in the entertainment business, and that means you're scrappy, right? It's that you're scrappy. You just make it happen. But
at a certain
point, you realize that there are other trained professionals that are holding the boom and adjusting the lights and, you know, doing the director of photography, like this other team to make the whole production work. So I like that.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and once I finally just said, okay, I'm going to spend the money, I'm so glad I did, because I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I would be, you know, sitting here in Redondo Beach, just kind of going, oh wow, I wonder how I'm going to get my clients today.
And I appreciate that transparency, because there are some people that try to hide the fact that they have a team, and I think that's less authentic. I think having a team is amazing, and having people help to run your social media is amazing. And so I commend you on that. And it, you know, because there's a badge of pride that I do it all myself, but it's like, who cares? Nobody really cares about that badge. They just want good content that's consistent, that they can rely on, that they can engage with. And sometimes that comes with a team, and it's got your phone ringing, which is a great thing.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's all you need. I mean, you got to pay the bills and keep the lights on, and, you know, and hopefully go on a vacation every now and then. You know, it doesn't matter how it happened. And I finally realized I can't do all this on my own. I need someone. I have to leverage this, or else, you know, or my business is going to fail. I can't give my clients the one-on-one, you know, time that they need and, you know, be at my computer for 4 hours a day doing social media stuff. I can't do it. It's just impossible.
So here's a quick pop question, and you don't necessarily have to answer to give up any secrets, but how did you find your team? Because I think a lot of people understand, okay, Ryan, I got it. I need a team. But where do I go? Like, that's kind of scary. How did you find it? Was it off of a referral or a friend or a website? Like, how did you find these awesome people to work with you?
You know what? It was just a chain of events. You know, at the end of the day, it was just a referral.
Cool. Okay.
You know, it was a guy who was really savvy in social media and just happened to know a lot about cryptocurrency. And why I didn't jump on it before, you know, that's my fault, but I'm in it now.
Right. But so basically you put out to your network the fact that you were looking for somebody to help, and it just sort of arose. And I like that, because it's a very natural process. And I think people were scared about, how do I find the right one? I'm afraid to give them my passwords, blah, 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 blah. I go to this, go to that. But just the simple fact of letting people know that you might need help with social media will have people sort of self-select and be like, I've got a friend or a buddy.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, it's just like searching for a new dentist or, you know, whatever. It's like you just interview people and you find out, you know, who you're comfortable with and, you know, what they can do for you. And you know what? And it's no fault of anybody's. Say if it doesn't work out a month, you're not seeing the results that you need. It's okay to move on.
Gotcha. All right. Well, moving on. Let's talk about Facebook real quick. And you mentioned that there is a ban on Bitcoin ads. Tell us about that and how you're navigating that.
Oh boy. Well, okay. It's I kind of blame the shysters out there. You know, the ones that say, you know, buy my course and you'll make $1 million. You know, guarantee. It's those guys who ruined it for the rest of us. So I'm a little bitter about that.
Can't we just blame it on Mark Zuckerberg, since he's getting beat up so much anyways?
I'm trying. I kind of let them have it the other day. But
okay, so that means like no ads for Bitcoin or anything related to Bitcoin.
No ads for Bitcoin or crypto or anything of the sort.
So yeah, can you do regular?
And I think it was, you know, I understand it, but I don't agree with it. You know, I think they need to have a better vetting process. You know, I think but you know, obviously there's no time for this. There's hundreds of thousands of people out there that are trying to, like, you know, sell their pyramid scheme or whatever. And going through all of them, I totally, they don't have the manpower or the, you know, the resources to do that. So they just, you know, blanket ban on everything.
So are you allowed to, like, post about it, or just not sending targeted ads?
You can't send ads. You can't send targeted ads. You know, you can post all day long. I mean, there's groups out there, you know, by the hundreds. That's not a problem. It's just, you know, I can't on my page, you know, the Crypto Realty group, say, hey, I've got this house and I'm going to sell it in Bitcoin. I can't do that anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's, I mean, you know, the cheese moves and you move with it. So has Facebook gone in the rankings down a little bit from your social media standard choices? I mean, what is working best for you right now? You said LinkedIn really works well. I'd be curious to know specifically how you use that. Are you posting every day? Is it being involved with groups? Like, what are some of the strategies that you're using that are working for you right now to become known as this person you want to be known for? The Bitqueen, the Bitqueen. Could we call you the Bitqueen?
I like that. Ooh, I like that.
Because, you know, you're just the Bitqueen.
Yeah, I'll put that on my card the next time.
Bitqueen or bit estate instead of real estate, or I don't know. Okay.
I
like Bitqueen, because everybody knows that it's kind of sounds like Bitcoin has the same role, but it's like, hey, I'm the Bitqueen, Piper the Bitqueen. Or you could be, instead of Peter Piper, you could be the Bitcoin Piper, right? Like leading the way. And like I can see this image of you with like, you know, marching on with the Piper, and you've got like all these Bitcoins flying out of it and stuff.
Oh my God, yes. They're all following me. That would be great.
So what platforms work best for you, and what are some of the best sage advice you can give for others who are trying to become their own type of blank queen or blank queen, king or queen?
Okay. Well, you know, LinkedIn, you know, I actually have to be better at this. I mean, my social media team can only do so much, and they're constantly on me, you know, for the next blog post and the next this and the next that. And you know, I also, you know, I have a YouTube channel that I do like a crypto realty recap, and I'm going to put another episode up this week.
Well, let's actually real quick, speaking of your social media team, because we want to keep them pumped up, why don't you let us know the different platforms you're on and how people can find you for each of those,
okay.
Right?
I'm everywhere.
Everywhere, okay.
The Crypto Realty Group on Facebook. I also have a public page for myself, Piper Moretti. There's not a lot of us out there. In fact, I think I'm the only one.
And that's, just so people know, it's Piper Moretti, Moretti.
Yes, correct. I am on LinkedIn, Twitter, personal and crypto realty group, Instagram. And I've got, you know, I've got a list of other things that I need to be on, like Steemit. It's just beyond me.
What the heck is Steemit?
But those are the main ones right now.
So what's Steemit? I've never heard of that.
Oh my God. Somebody showed it to me. I actually have an account, but I don't know how to access it. How like Gen X is that for you? It's like a Facebook, let's say. I mean, you can, or a Twitter, you can post on it. And then you can, it's kind of like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit all together. You make your post and then it gets voted up, you know, the more people see it, the more exposure it gets, and the more exposure it gets, you can earn Bitcoin. You can actually make money on your post, which is pretty cool. Hmm. Or actually, it's a Steemit coin. I'm sorry. I think they have their own platform coin, but then you can exchange that into Bitcoin, I believe.
Interesting. I love this. I've never heard of Steemit, but I'm going to tweet it now so that everybody that I know knows about it, and then we'll all steam it together.
Awesome. Okay.
So of those, without Steemit, because we know you can't log into it, and since I'm not on it yet, so it's just fine. Of those platforms, what do you think has been the best for you? I mean, what if you were going to send somebody to a single platform, would you do that? Or do you just say, like, Google me? And how do you direct people to your social media? Because this is a real problem, right? You're like, I'm everywhere. Yeah. So if you're everywhere, it's almost a paradox of choice. Like, where should I find you, or what should I do? How do you deal with that as you grow?
Right. Well, that's good, because, you know, we are in a growing phase right now. I would say find me on LinkedIn, because the messaging, it's a clean platform. It's for me, business-wise, it's more organic, because it's just kind of like the no BS platform. You know, I mean, you've got to be legitimized in some way on LinkedIn. And I try to post I'm trying to post as much as I can, you know, and be involved in, you know, networking and all that. And it's almost like a grassroots business platform that, you know, you can, honest to God, like, network it, unlike Facebook, which is, you know, it's still social media, but there's Facebook aspect.
Shiny
to it,
object.
You know?
Squirrel. That's, for me, Facebook is like Squirrel Book. And it's like,
totally.
I'm scrolling. Squirrel! And LinkedIn is definitely more focused. Do you know Justin Wu?
Yes.
Okay, cool. He's a buddy of mine, and he's big in the crypto space, and I would connect you on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
LinkedIn, I like that. When it comes to your LinkedIn strategy, we have maybe about 5 minutes left. For people who are out there trying to establish their brand using the social side of things, and particularly on LinkedIn, what are some of the things that you do or try to do? Do you do a daily post? Do you do videos? Do you jump into groups? What works for you?
I jump into groups. Get as much information as possible. I connect with everybody I can in the space. You know, a lot of them are, you know, trying to sell the next ICO or or you know, show me their white paper, whatever. But there are a lot of amazing minds, you know, in the blockchain and cryptocurrency space. And for me, I want to learn from them. For other people, though, you know, they find me because they want knowledge on, you know, how to buy and sell, you know, in cryptocurrency and real estate. What I do, you know, I post when I can, you know, every time that there's like a, you know, I'll probably post a link to this, you know, and you know, I if I'm featured in an article, of course, I'm going to, you know, post that link as well. It's something that's like newsworthy and relevant. You know, I don't just, you know, post just for the sake of posting.
I like that. Not posting for the sake of posting. That's a good one.
Right. Like you would on Facebook. I mean, you know, there's no food pictures on LinkedIn, you know?
No, that's interesting. Do you leverage videos on LinkedIn?
You know what? I don't. And I probably should. I need, that's another thing to talk to my social media guy about today.
Do you know Susan String, or she goes by String? She's on LinkedIn. She is crushing it when it comes to the video components, and she'll create these little games, and she gets hundreds of likes, hundreds of comments, thousands and thousands of views. But I'll definitely connect you guys on LinkedIn as well, and just
even
watching what she's doing. That's what I love about the concept when it comes to what to do on social. I just love asking people what they do, because it's sort of a crowdsourced figure out what's working now. Because what worked 2 weeks ago is different than what's going to work with algorithmic changes in 5 weeks. And it's like everybody's trying to come up with their own strategy. One of the best things I've found is just like ask people what they're doing and specifically what's working well for them. And then like try it, right? It just seems like kind of a free flow of energy that you can test out. And if you treat it that way, it's not as stressful because you can't really mess
Absolutely.
Up. Okay, so you have now 2 minutes to convince people that Bitcoin is something that they should maybe dip their toe into. And if they would, like, and here's the question, like, granted, not everybody's going to go get enough Bitcoin to buy a house, but would you suggest or to buy Bitcoin, or like, what is the lowest level just to get involved and sort of play a little bit? How would people dive into this world? Because I think a lot of people are either fully in or they're fully out. Like, is there a middle ground?
Oh, absolutely. There's always a middle ground you can find. The cool thing about Bitcoin is you can only invest a dollar if you wanted to. You know, whatever you're comfortable with. There's no minimum. And you can do a fraction of a Bitcoin. You don't have to buy an entire one just to get started. So what I would do, I like, my favorite exchange is Gemini. And that, because it's run by the Winklevoss twins, the Facebook twins. And it's compliant across the board. It's very safe. It's very secure. You can put in whatever you're comfortable with. You know, the old adage is don't invest, you know, what you can't lose, basically. But I would put in 10, 20, 50 bucks, you know, and just get skin in the game, you know, like I always say, and just kind of ride the wave and pay attention to the news and what's going on in other countries and how that affects the price of it, you know, because there's a lot of panic selling. Just like there is in stocks, you know, and that basically just, you know, affects the price.
Okay, so get your toe wet. A buck, five bucks, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, just something so you've got maybe not even skin, just a toenail in the game. And then
just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit. And then try to buy something with it. You don't buy a house, but you can buy stuff on Amazon. You can buy stuff at some major retailers, different
Overstock,
things like that.
Yeah. Overstock. I've gotten boots and earrings.
Bit boots. Are they called?
Bit boots, yes.
Bit boots and bit rings. I like that.
Bit rings.
Hey, well, this has been a lot of fun, and I'm going to encourage people to check you out on LinkedIn. Go find Piper and let her be your Bit Queen Pied Piper when it comes to the world of Bitcoin. And what I like is that this is something that just appeared on your plate a few years ago. And so that gives me the confidence with somebody who it's now just on my plate now to not be intimidated. And you don't have to know all the tech. You don't have to know how the Rubik's Cube works. You don't have to see into the matrix. You just have to know it's mathematics, it's technology, a lot of people are doing it. And if you don't do it, you'll probably have FOMO. So throw 50 bucks at it, get your FOMO taken care of.
Absolutely.
Well, very cool.
About it myself.
Well, hey, this has been a lot of fun. I know I've learned, and when I buy my house, I'm going to call you, and we're going to get some Bitcoin, and we're going to put it into cash, and we're going to close in like 25 days.
Oh, or less. That'd be great.
All right. Well, awesome stuff. Thanks so much. And a shout out to Jennifer, who connected us, and to your team, who continues to help everybody else understand the ins and outs of this invisible coin, which is a Rubik's Cube. But keep doing the good work. And I'm excited to see this thing continue to take off. And we'll see you online and on Twitter and all that other stuff all the time.
Yep. Thank you so much, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. Go buy your Bitcoin, dip your toe in the water, and have fun playing. And don't forget to check out my Twitter, @RyanFolan. I tend to tweet a lot, and there's a few tweets about Bitcoin. I pulled a random CD off the wall. Here we go. We'll see what it is. Have a great day.
Will you move?